like to call to order this meeting of the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. If we could all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And our secretary's not here, so I will take the roll call. Commissioner Summers?
Present.
Commissioner Coppola?
I believe I'm here.
Commissioner Poole is absent. Commissioner Desjardins is also absent. Commissioner Pike?
Present.
Commissioner Stowe?
Here.
Commissioner Tate?
Here.
And Commissioner Longton?
I'm here.
Okay.
I think.
Chairperson Lundy is also here. This evening, I'd like to introduce the new town planner, Matt Davis. This is the Planning and Zoning Commission. We also have a new commissioner, Commissioner Tate. So welcome aboard. We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Are there any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. We'll move on to the approval of the January 23rd, 2024 regular meeting minutes. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. First, Commissioner Longton, would anybody like to second it?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Summers. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Next, we'll move on to remarks from the public not related to items on the agenda. Hearing none, we will move on to item 7, which is public hearing, discussion, and decision. We do not have a public hearing this evening. Item 8 is old business. We also do not have any old business this evening. So we'll move on to new business. We've got item 9A, which is 24 sub 1, 581 Route 163, parcel ID 030-024-000, Montville, Connecticut. The owner applicant is James Morosky for proposed two-lot subdivision. The application was submitted on February 29th, 2024 and received on March 26th, and a decision is required by May 30th. What should we know about this application, Meredith?
This application is for a two-lot subdivision of 6.95 acres of land. It's currently developed with a residential house, two garages, and accessory structures. They are looking to divide it into two lots. The lot with the house will have 6.02 acres, and the proposed lot 24-2 will contain 0.93 acres, which will also accommodate a proposed single-family residence. They will both be accessed via a shared driveway. It was referred out to the Inland Wetlands Commission, and a favorable report was given on March 21st, 2024. Stacy and I both did a sidewalk on March 19th, 2024. There's pictures attached to the staff report of what we saw when we were out there. It has been referred to all applicable town staff. All the comments have been posted on the application, and all comments have been addressed. All of my comments have been addressed, and the attorney for the applicant is here, and he can give you some more information.
Attorney Heller?
Good evening. For the record, Harry Heller, 736 Route 32 in Uncasville, representing the applicants. Pretty simple application. We're proposing one new lot. It's in an R40 zone. It will be interconnecting to the Montville Municipal Sewer System. It complies with all of the zoning requirements. There's really not much more to it than that.
Are there any questions for Attorney Heller?
Will I still be able to fish there?
On that lot? You have to ask the owner.
Thank you very much, Jenny Heller.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, so there is a, excuse me, there's a proposed motion in the staff memo Would anyone like to read it into the record?
I'll read it. I make a motion to approve application 24-1-581, Route 163, parcel ID 030-024-000, Montville, Connecticut, applicant James E. Morosky. Property owner James E. Morosky and Kristen Morosky for a two-lot subdivision, and at the application, supporting documents and a plan entitled Subdivision Plan Prepared for James E. Morosky and Kristen Morosky, 581 Route 163, a.k.a. Oakdale Road, Montville, Connecticut, dated 5-28-23, revised 3-11-24, comply with all applicable sections of the Montville zoning regulations and subdivision regulations with the following conditions. LS shall certify proposed iron pins and street line monuments as set prior to endorsement of final subdivision plan. Two, per subdivision regulation section 3.9 GIS, digital data shall be provided to the land use department prior to endorsement of the final subdivision plan. Three, a declaration of joint driveway easement and maintenance agreement shall be filed on the land records with the final Mylar plans.
Second motion.
Okay, it's been first and seconded. Any discussion?
Yes.
Commissioner Longton?
For the record, condition number one, what is LS? Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
I just came in, so must have abstained.
Okay. Motion passes. The application is approved. Thank you. All right, moving right along to item 10, which is the Zoning Enforcement Officer report.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. In your packets, you have two reports, one for the period of January 24th through February 26th, 2024, and the second one from February 27th to March 25th, 2024. I'm only going to read the most current report, but please look both over. If you have any questions, let me know. Total inquiries were 166. Total zoning permits that were open at the beginning of this reporting period were 326. Certificate of zoning compliance with field inspections, these are closed permits, were 30. Field inspections were 19. Total number of zoning permits issued were 10. 8 were approved, 1 was pending, and 1 was denied. Giving us a total of currently opened zoning permits of 306. There are 3 new complaints, zoning complaints. There are 12 ongoing complaints.
Oh.
4 complaints have been closed. There are 2 new wetlands complaints, 3 wetland complaints that are ongoing, and none have been closed. The Inland Wetlands Commission had the one application, the same one that was presented to you this evening, and ZBA had no applications.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for Stacy?
152 Route 163, has that been addressed? I didn't drive by there today.
I won't get it.
Right past Yale's, Maple Avenue.
Oh, okay.
They were sitting right next to the road, those chickens. Is that the place, same place?
No.
Have you seen the place by, like they're right next to the road?
I think I know where it is.
I have not received actual complaint for that one.
Nobody said a word to you. Wow.
But I can take a look at that one. The one that's on here is the old Tech Air property.
Oh, okay. So you go past Wayne's garage there, fractured glass at Yale's there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know where I'm talking about. Right there on the left-hand side, those chickens are like dead on the road right there.
Really?
You can't miss them.
And the wrong, well.
There's a lot of them.
Are they confined in a fence?
Oh, they're crossing the road, right?
No, they're confined in the fence, but they are, like, right next to the road, and there's more than a dozen of them. There's a lot of chickens there.
What's the setback from the road supposed to be?
It should be the backyard.
I just don't think it should be sitting right, like, it's right on 163. You can't miss it when you drive by.
I don't believe the regulations that we put in place had a setback for pens.
Well, there is regulations for how many chickens you can have on your property.
Yeah, 12 hens.
And I question how many chickens are there, because you can comfortably see there's better than a dozen plus there.
You have to have a half an acre to greater. Have 12 chickens.
Not a very big lot.
Over 5 acres.
Right.
Would be considered a farm.
Yeah, I've had a number of people say to me, you're on planning and zoning. Are you paying attention to this? I said, drive by it every day. So I just thought I'd bring it to your attention.
I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
I actually act on complaints.
Is that a complaint?
It's an observation that people have shared with me in town. Like, you're on planning and zoning, Wills. Would you please bring it up? And I said, yes, I'll bring it up.
You got it.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Stacy?
Oh, yeah, I just had one question. So the application that was denied, I've asked this question before, and I'm just curious. Why would we deny an application?
So the one that's listed on here for 58 Oak Hill Road?
Correct.
For a front porch?
Mm-hmm.
It would be into the setbacks.
Okay.
So because there is a setback, I believe it was 20 feet into the setback, so it wasn't allowed.
So they can then go for Zoning Board of Appeals?
They certainly can.
For a variance, possibly.
But they have to prove a hardship.
Thank you very much.
I used to sit on the Zoning Board of Appeals, and they're really strict about not interpreting the rules. Mm-hmm. If the statute says thus and so, you're either approved or denied by the statute.
Okay. So do we work with the applicant saying you can cut the deck or porch or whatever it was back? By a certain amount?
I certainly would suggest that. Unfortunately, in this situation, it's a non-compliant piece of property, and the setback is actually halfway through the house, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Cup your friend with rock and hard plate.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stacy. Next, we'll move on to I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Everybody is inquiring as to what's going on at the drive-in.
Oh, I know.
So the only application we have at this time is for the clearing.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, we have not received anything. There's a lot of speculation out there. There's a lot of rumors out there, but
we'll find out
there
when
are
it does.
No applications pending for anything at that location.
So last the way I thought was you weren't allowed to even disturb a grain of soil without a permit.
They have a permit.
Just to?
To grade it.
To regrade.
To clean it up.
To clean it up. All of the tar that was there.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what their permit was for. To get down all the trees that were growing through the parking lot. All of the metal stanchions that were there for the speakers, mm-hmm. all of those were to be removed. Their permit was to basically clean up the property, just as they are doing.
Now, Route 85, across from the new gas station.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
That is... So he has a permit to clear that, and he needs to install a... I was going to say a retention pond. He has to install. And so that's all that we have at this time.
Okay.
I mean, at the very end of 163?
Is that the new gas station?
What?
That's by where the go-kart
and the axe throwing
and all that.
85, 83, I guess was on place.
So that's all legit?
Yes.
And
you've been working with it, so.
Is that part of Lombardi Gravel? Is that part of Lombardi Gravel?
It's not part of it. It's.
I think Daniels owns it, doesn't he?
Yes.
A different business.
Daniels owns it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thank you, Stacy. Moving on to the Land Use Director Report.
Okay, I'll be brief. So I started March 4, and I just want to thank the staff. They've been extremely helpful. You're very fortunate, I think, to have a very competent and dedicated staff in this department here. And that's certainly a pleasure for me coming on board and being new. So this first 3 weeks or so has been spent more or less kind of getting up to speed with department operations. It's budget season, so a lot of time and effort has been spent on digging deep into the budget details and preparing the budget for the next fiscal year. We have a meeting set up with the Finance Committee, I think it's the first, as well as the department budget. I've had a number of conversations and meetings with the mayor about the budget. Probably looking at some changes that we'll discuss if you'd like. But for the most part, in terms of the dollars, they'll pretty much remain consistent with what we've seen in the past. Commission budgets in particular, those are fairly minor in the grand scheme of things. So those won't change. The mayor is going to request some additional funding for some kind of on-call, or we'll call it on-call, kind of economic development-oriented services from professional consultants. So that will be in there. But for the most part, I think it's pretty pro forma kind of going forward. So next meeting, I'll probably have more to report on specific projects or initiatives or that kind of thing. I don't know in past reports what the focus has been. I don't know what in particular, if you have any kind of preferences or druthers as far as things you want to emphasize or that you want me to report on. If you do, let me know, and we'll kind of play it by ear, work it through as the weeks kind of go forward. So far, so good. And hopefully we'll get some additional work accomplished tonight. Some other things, but any questions?
Welcome. Okay. We're very glad to have you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Regarding the report, it had previously been sort of a recap of the work that was being done, but I think perhaps there's areas for opportunity to sort of keep our finger on the pulse of maybe the POCD, sort of have a little bit more of a standing agenda for that.
Right. I mean, what I would like to do, what I've done in the past with commissions is, and, you know, the success is kind of all over the map, really, to be honest, because some commissions are less interested than others. Mm-hmm. Right. But I try to have some kind of a work program for the commission, kind of upon their scope of authority and what they do. So conservation is different than planning and zoning, mm-hmm. et cetera. So, I think maybe for the next meeting, I can take a crack at least trying to frame out some of those items that would be in the program for the next, you know, say 12, 18 months, year and a half kind of thing.
That would be fantastic. And we can connect offline, too, about what the commission might find valuable. If anybody does have anything in particular, we can connect and figure that out.
The only thing that I would request is just to keep, and this, no, I don't want you to take this long at all, but it's just really more just a management kind of an approach here. There's obviously multiples of you. There's one of me. There may be different opinions and viewpoints on different topics. So at least initially, if we could work the communication through the chair of the department or the chair Lenny for the department, however we want to do it, but at least that'll kind of keep things organized for us so we don't kind of get pulled in too many different directions. Mm-hmm. If that's okay.
Sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to other business, which is commission discussion of draft regulations regarding adult use cannabis. We have in our package a letter from the Montville Economic Development Commission. I'll read it into the record. It's to the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission from Montville EDC, dated for March 19th, 2024, and the subject is Request for Recommendation, Rezoning Regulations for Cannabis Uses, Retail. Dear Chair Lundy and Commission members, thank you for the opportunity to provide input on the above. At their March 18th, 2024 meeting, the members attending felt that additional retail outlets should be permitted. However, these should be limited in number to perhaps one additional, as well as being limited geographically. Specifically, the EDC felt it would be beneficial to allow one retail outlet on the east side of Montville, i.e. the current permitted facility, and one additional on the west side of Montville. We understand this will require a zoning map and regulation amendment, which we believe will also be designed to accommodate non-retail cannabis uses, i.e. industrial, within existing industrial-zoned lands. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Thanks again for the opportunity to weigh in. Respectfully, Mickey Gillette, Chair, Montville EDC. And it was copied to Honorable Leonard Bunnell, Senior Mayor. Meredith or Matt, do you have any additional context for us or anything?
No, that was the only referral that we did was the EDC. I had spoken briefly with the mayor about the idea of the referral to the council. I think the response I got from him was that he didn't feel that that was necessary at this time, understanding that when the commission does go forward with a formal application, there will be a public hearing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So based on our, based on our last discussion of this, I believe the only thing we had left to hammer out was retail. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not incorrect, okay. You're correct.
Thank you. All right, so how do we feel about the EDC's recommendation to have one addition or to allow one additional retail establishment but separate it in distance from the current establishment?
It sounds a good idea, my opinion. But
Commissioner Summers?
As I mentioned before last time we talked about this, I do not believe we can regulate one additional establishment.
It depends on the
economy. We can pick the zone and that's about it.
I have a question regarding the hybrid retailer. How would the prescription portion be separated from the retail portion, and how would that be controlled?
I don't know. You have to ask them. They're the ones that set it all up.
Would that be something like in, for example, Walgreens, the prescription section is set off?
I know exactly. I've been there plenty of times with my wife picking up for medication.
First of all, to get in there is like getting into Fort Knox. They have more security than anything else. Nobody can go wandering around. You go to the front, first of all, you have to have appointment. And they only do retail at a third time. That means no Joe Blow doesn't come in there to go pick up some weed, okay. So, you have an appointment, you go in there, and then you go in a separate room, talk to the console, ding, 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 pick your stuff up. A lot of the stuff is done online. They pick up everything online. They order it all online, and that's it. Or call up there, say, I want this, this, and this. That's how much it costs. Come there, give them the money, bing, bing, out the door.
Do you know what the separation between retail and medical is there?
Because all
is it separated?
No, not really separated. I mean, everything's behind the glass. You don't go there, I want this, I want that, I want this. No. You give them you give them an order, and it's like this. Medical, $5. The recreational, $10. You know what I mean? Same product. You know what I mean? Because it's different, if there's a different price. First of all, medical is non-taxed. And that's it. Commercial is taxed plus a little overhead. You know, it's different, totally different price, you know? That's it. So, you know that thing there? You just, I can do it myself. I can do it like, I can find out, do it like this. Ask my wife, and then, how much was such and such? And then ask the purposes, how much does it cost for such and such for the same product for recreational? How would that cost? And I know it's more.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, the interior layout and the requirements relating to how those uses are managed is really a subject of the state regulations.
Yes.
So, my understanding is that if you have a medical card, section, and you deal with, you know, a pharmacist basically, as opposed to the generic, call it retail, kind of part of the operation. But all of that is regulated heavily by the state of Connecticut. All of the security aspects, basically anything about the operations and the physical building and structure itself is subject to the state regulations, which are more rigorous than anything I have frankly ever seen. I'm not sure that most of our plants are subject to like they had. It's impressive to get a chance to get online and read them. So hopefully that's helpful. So I don't know if that's a good segue into talking a little bit about where we've been and my understanding and what I've been able to kind of produce for you for tonight. And,
sure.
So when I came on board, the mayor has a number of outstanding, things that he wants to move forward on, of course. As with any planning and zoning department, there were various initiatives in some stage of the process. This one kind of fits into that category. So I initially talked with staff, went through as many records as I could, just get up to speed as to the history. And based on your suggestion, went to the EDC, got their input. I'm familiar with the cannabis regulations, having dealt with them in my prior place of employment in Enfield. And it's a topic that's been around in the planning community for quite a while. So I think most planners are pretty familiar with the requirements. So to your point earlier, that the only thing that really needed to be resolved, it seemed, was the retail, how to deal with the retail component. So I took the last draft that my predecessor had put together, and based on what the EDC was recommending, I felt that you could kind of simplify things a little bit and take a little bit of a different approach. So what I created was basically three classes of uses. That first class is really kind of the as-of-right class, which are those uses that you felt that you would just allow based on the existing kind of conventional standards that you would have. So those would be no different than any other zoning use that would allow in that manner. And then the second class was what I kind of group as kind of like industrial uses. So the draft that I saw had these being allowed in the I-1 and the I-2. Did I get my acronyms wrong? L-1. Okay. And those would be done by site plan approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes.
So there seemed to be some consensus around those two. So that leaves this third class, which is really the retail, all retail, if you will, just use a general term. And So, given what the EDC said, I just took the liberty to go ahead and switch gears a little bit. And rather than using the separation distance approach, I created these two overlay zones. So there's one on the east and one on the west. And they're single-use overlay zones. So the only reason they exist is to address this retail cannabis use. On the east side, obviously, you've already got them. Mm-hmm. So in the east overlay zone, it's set up to more or less codify what exists now, which was approved through, I think, a zoning permit process at the retail and the use. But in order to, again, control the number and the location, we have maps that we ended up to kind of show you. So there's this east overlay zone that you kind of see. And it encompasses the lot where the existing facility is. And they're kind of, you know, you can't spot zone.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of expanded it out a little bit. Kind of past that spot zone request. But the regulation was written in a way that you can only do one of these retail uses in each of the east and west overlays. So we've got one on. So the east side is pretty much done, taken care of. That leaves us with the west side. So we took a look at the corridor on that west side. And it seemed to us that kind of the Chesterfield, you know, where Otto's is, that kind of area. That general location was something that we thought we kind of work with for this second one, for the new one. So in looking at those lands, we felt we wanted to stay south of Grassyville. Standards for landscaping and lighting and stormwater management and these kinds of things. That might be a little more rigorous than what you typically have. And the good thing is that they only apply to that particular use in that particular zone. So it's not like you're applying this generally to C1 and C2 uses in that sort of two, you know, for instance. So we incorporated that into that question of the overlay. A couple of other things that we did anyway. For instance, there are some general standards that you see in the draft, one of which a lot of that was kind of cut and paste from the prior draft. The odor control, for instance, that was in there. So I just cut and paste that in because I knew that was important to you. I did add a couple of definitions I thought were important. There were terms that were used in the reg that really weren't defined. So I thought that was kind of important. And then there's some more, you know, just kind of planner legalese stuff in there that I would see, but it's necessary and kind of helpful to have it. The class three uses we did require a special permit instead of a site plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure that a site plan is an administrative approval, so all an applicant has to do, and I'm sure Harry will tell you this, I'm sure he's told you this, all they have to do is meet the appropriate standards and the regulations that apply to that use of that zone, and you're almost due to approve it. You really don't have a lot of discretion. So the special permit for that retail use, that allows you that discretion to consider site-specific circumstances. One thing I think that's really good in this is frankly the traffic, the impact study, and then the ability to maybe require some improvements to mitigate if there are impacts in terms of level of service and other kinds of things. I think that's important, especially, you know, for that area. If you're going to move that area in a certain direction, it's going to take some money to do it. Mm-hmm. That was the idea, to leverage it, to use it as an opportunity, to leverage it, not just for the taxes, that's important, but from a planning perspective, to leverage it in all these ways that I've kind of described. So.
Well, this is quite impressive, and I appreciate you putting this together for us, especially in such a short turnaround time.
I wrote it today.
Well done.
I have my door closed. Nobody could bother me.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to have a little bit of direction, and with your insight as a planner, where we are not planners, this is useful, I think. Does anybody have any questions for Matt?
I have a question.
Commissioner Tate.
So you mentioned down here, you kind of talked briefly about it at the very end, and the commercial node, moving the commercial node in a positive direction, one of those was enhanced streetscapes. Because the Route 85 there, the traffic backs up to the dam sometimes.
Yeah.
And if we're putting in a big cannabis business there, like, so you're talking like either a traffic circle or maybe a left-hand turn lane at the very least?
Well,
or
I wouldn't want to kind of, think in those kind of specific terms. I think what you have to do is you have to take a look at the use, the specific impacts of the use based on the analysis. Mm-hmm. And then come up with mitigation that is suitable to address those impacts. What that might be, it could run the gamut. It could be additional. It could be turning lanes. It could be a combination of things. It could be adjustments to the phasing and the timing of the lights at the intersections for service reasons. It could be a whole bunch of different things. But I absolutely agree with you that. And that's, I think, why we want to try to leverage the use. Is the state going to come in and write a big check and, like, fix 85 in that area? But would the state, district be willing to take a look at mitigation that were related to something like this? Yeah, I think it's
okay.
Bottom line, it's going to take a lot of logistics. Bury it. And same thing, they have to also look at the cannabis place we have right here, the dispensary. If you really look at it, they put themselves in a bank. And what bank's known for? Security. And if they're going to build a new building, they're going to build it like a bank. And that's a lot of money. And you probably know yourself how much it costs to build a brand new bank. A lot of money, right? Yeah, old bank goes about business, put them in the bank.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Commissioner Summers?
Under mandatory referrals, can state DOT be added to that? Sure.
Because both of these are on state highways. Mm. These.
Yeah, we can certainly.
And
you know, as you probably know, Joe, from your background, that a lot of times districts, whether it's District 1, whatever district, mm-hmm. where they are in state, mm-hmm. they refrain from commenting mm-hmm. on plans until you actually have zoning approval. So it's kind of a catch-22. You know, we want
right.
to, but the referral, we can absolutely send them the referral.
Yeah, there's no guarantee. But I'm thinking of, okay, if we allow like a drive-through establishment, I can see, okay, we always have issues with Dunkin' Donuts
yeah.
and things like that backing up into major roads
yeah.
everywhere.
I actually put a prohibition on drive-throughs in yeah.
track. Okay. Mm.
Yeah, for that. Now, okay, theoretically, could they have a drive-through? Yeah, sure. But we all know that with drive-throughs, one of the last things I worked on at Enfield was Raising Cane's chicken. For some reason, chicken's big.
Mm-hmm.
We got, Enfield has
that was big news when that opened.
Yes.
All in like one strip.
A lot of chicken restaurants.
It's amazing. So, and you know, not to disparage chicken, I like it. But, you know, Raising Cane's is kind of a big deal. And the police, when they opened up, they had a drone above. And you can probably go online and find the images. There were lines.
So you stick it.
Like all the way back up into the this part, like the shopping center, the defunct shopping center there.
Just got a thick chicken sandwich, huh?
There wasn't 150 cars, just kind of thing. So, in terms of the drive-through, you know, that's kind of an extreme example, but you want to be careful that you've got the right stacking lanes and the right situation to accommodate that kind of use. You know, there's good reasons for drive-through. You know, you got a baby in a car seat, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to do that kind of thing. But a lot of people are just, you know, kind of lazy and they don't want to get out of their car and park. Maybe it's raining out or whatever. So, but there's a prohibition in this.
Okay, great.
That sometime in the future, if you think you want to have that, you can always.
Well, right. One thing that the dispensary did was, because of parking and everything else, you can't go in there unless you have an appointment mm-hmm. to pick up. Because if you don't have an appointment, you know, you got the car backed up all the way when they first started off, you know.
So we've got this proposal in front of us. We can all dive into it deeper and come up with any mm-hmm. questions mm-hmm. perhaps on our own time. But is anyone opposed with moving forward with the development of these regulations as and the application as Matt described?
I'm not opposed to it, but I don't think we need to push. We can always extend our moratorium. There's no rush here.
Well,
in my
the issue on the moratorium that we received, I guess, some guidance from legal counsel that advancing the moratorium again is not a recommendation.
Why?
Well, because it based. Well,
I'm just curious. Why be a negative?
Yeah, but you know, the purpose of a moratorium is to basically take time out, for lack of a better term, to develop regulations or to deal with a particular situation. So when you link multiple moratoriums,
you don't have a prohibition.
It begins to basically become a de facto
prohibition
in a sense. So I would, to your point, I would say if you can't get this done before the moratorium expires, you should write a regulation that prohibits uses, and then we'll continue, and then we'll wear
it. Is it
the one that's open right now?
Right.
Is completely lawful. It has every right to continue under their existing permits. Prohibition would not have any effect
right.
on them whatsoever.
Right.
But that would be a better way to approach it as opposed to extending it.
Is the concern about perception or about legality?
I'm not sure that it's a matter of perception. I think it's just a matter of, and I can get further.
It's fear of the unknown.
Input for you if you want, but I think it's basically
fear of the unknown.
That moratoriums have a purpose. They're, you know, viewed by courts and by the legal system in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you link multiples together, the moratoriums have been in total
think it was a year.
Year.
It's been a year, so.
Yeah, you should care about that.
To the point of the of extending the moratorium, we have a special circumstance in that the land use director, who was shepherding the majority of this work, left in the middle of it, left a big time hole. The whole commission was basically stymied for a little while.
Your recommendation again? You said about 5 minutes ago. What's your recommendation?
Regarding the application.
In terms of doing a moratorium, just put a regulation in prohibiting?
Yeah, just prohibiting. But that would be for about, supposedly, continuing the moratoriums. I think at some point, you go to public hearing, people are going to have their say, you're going to close the public hearing, you're going to vote. So whether this is thumbs up, thumbs down, we'll see. Let's go to public hearing, get the community opportunity to speak, and then, take a vote.
But it's your feeling that you personally could get this done before the moratorium expires?
Yeah, it's just sections have to be codified, so the indexing is correct. We have to give a copy to the town clerk 10 days prior to the public hearing. We checked some mapping today. We don't need to notify the regional because it's not within 500 feet. It's not in the public watershed. Mm-hmm. The one on the east side that exists is
in the turn it off zone. Here, sorry.
So we go through a referral up to Upland Management. I can't imagine. It's not a waterfront site. It's not a
Okay.
But yes.
All right. I'm going to recommend that we move forward with this then, as you've described. And then if everybody could dig into it, if you have questions, comments, concerns, reach out to me as soon as possible so that I can forward them to Matt.
Yeah, I just to delay some concern maybe as well is a couple of things. Because this is a commission-sponsored amendment, you can, through the process, make changes to the draft as a result of the process. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful about making it more, I'll say, accommodating than more rigorous. You generally go in a more rigorous direction than less rigorous kind of direction. The other thing is, and I'll put this out there, but I think I'll be careful about this, is that the time frames in 8-7D in terms of actions and things like this, they don't apply to you. They don't apply to commission-sponsored amendments. So, there's a postponed hearing, you're going to act in 6 days, all that kind of, thing.
Yep.
That doesn't apply to you. The hearing time frames. I've seen commissions in the past. They have a big hearing. It's controversial. And they get done with the hearing and they close it. And, I would recommend this, but it's just from experience that, the regulation kind of just goes into the ether, never land for some period of time until it's resurrected and then maybe go forward.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Do I understand correctly that you would like us to dig into this on our own between now and the next meeting and come prepared
to
vote?
Come prepared to vote, but also if there's anything that you would like to change, that needs to be done nearly immediately.
To the director's comment, I would recommend that there be an additional regulation available at the next meeting, which does the prohibit, so that if we decide not to do this at this time, we can pass that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's exactly
it's a good idea, Commissioner Ellington.
That way we can choose either or.
Absolutely. Great idea.
Yeah, let's take that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We certainly appreciate the insight and the direction.
One comment. My opinion is, if they pass it, as you call it, an ordinance, a zoning regulation, the gas bill put one up there.
You have to remember, the market will dictate. There's a lot of, you call overhead to build one of these things, a lot of capital. And I don't see somebody all of a sudden jumping up with a couple of billions of dollars to set one of these things up, especially when it takes, especially with a permit. You know, you have to make sure that he applies for the permit, goes through all this red tape and everything else, and he's got, they're just not going to be one of them fly-by-night places, you know.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to item 13, which is correspondence. I already read the letter into the record, so that's taken care of. There's no executive session this evening, and so I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
On my book.
Thank you all.